Welcome back inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from FanRagSports.com, along with Trevor Sikkema from PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we are here to finish your week right, talking about Senior Bowl positional previews. We've been doing it all week. Go back and listen. We talked about quarterbacks. We talked about running backs. We talked about edge defenders. We talked about defensive linemen. I have loved talking to Senior Bowl class and kind of previewing these guys. And I've also been pouring over tape the last 2 weeks now at this point, watching as many players as I can and writing about them, taking notes, scouting them. Trev, I know you've been starting to get into the tape as well a little bit. Yep. And this is your favorite group. This is your top position group right here. Wide receivers. You love to scout them. You love to talk about them. The floor is yours, my friend, to say who stands out to you in this group. I mean, it's a huge group. It's a glut of receivers, and it feels like a glut of receivers in the draft, to be honest, because there's kind of like your flavor, but no real, like, not a lot of real standout number one type receivers. So it is a little bit of a confusing class in terms of sorting out who's better than who. It's going to come down to what you need, kind of, maybe, I think, in a lot of ways. But still, there's a good amount of talent in this Senior Bowl group.
Yeah, I'll say this. We haven't gotten to the cornerback group yet, so people might not know, but there aren't a ton of big name secondary players at the Senior Bowl this year. That's going to bode really well for these quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So we talked about, what was it, yesterday? The
I
day
think
before.
It was. I think it was yesterday.
And then, but then also for these wide receivers, these are a lot of these guys, and we're seeing this just in college football in general. You know, there's a lot more deep ball passes. And so the receivers are normally the ones to benefit the most from that because they're the guys at the end of these huge plays. And so let's just start out with a guy who has made a living getting that ball deep down the field. And we'll start with James Washington, and we can talk about Aitman as well, his teammate, who is also going to be there. I think this year's Senior Bowl is going to be tailor-made for James Washington, because even though we have some of the questions of, okay, you know, exactly what is he in the NFL? You know, he's a 6-foot, kind of a deep threat as his main weapon receiver, but he's not super tall. He's not overly athletic. He has a compact body frame, so he has a lot of body control. He has good body control when he's in the air, but only so much height and length that you can do with that once you get into the NFL. You're going to pair him then with quarterbacks like his quarterback from Oklahoma State. You know, Mason Rudolph's going to be there. Baker Mayfield, who we know likes to stretch the field. Josh Allen, who we know is going to want to show off that huge arm. You know, it's just a ton of guys who are going to get to throw him the ball who are deep ball throwers. And so even though I think we're going to go into the Senior Bowl and think, all right, James Washington, he's probably a lot of people's wide receiver one because of the production that he had. People are probably going to be like, oh, I'd love to see him do little different things, but he might not do that as much. Say, like if James Washington was in last year's Senior Bowl group, he'd be doing a lot more. Let's see how he is in screen work and in short yardage things, you know, mesh concepts, all this kinds of stuff. And I just don't know how much we're going to see of that this year because the quarterbacks that we have there have such strong arms. So James Washington, I think it's going to be certainly an important week for him because you could argue it is for everybody, but he's going to have to find the ways to, in little opportunities, show that he is more than just the deep throw receiver, because I feel like the way that the Senior Bowl is shaping up is he's going to be able to just stay in his habitat, and that's good to an extent. Like, you get to show what you're great at. You know, you love being able to do that at the Senior Bowl, but you got to also be able to show, especially if you're considered a wide receiver one, you got to show the other stuff.
Oh, too. Yeah.
So I just don't know how much opportunity he's going to get.
Well, that's the big thing with James Washington is that, yes, there are good skills, but here's where he lacks is he's not a really explosive route runner or even a really accomplished route runner right now. You know, it's a lot of soft zone coverages. He kind of drifts into space a lot of the time. He's not really separating against press man coverage very often. So press at the line of scrimmage is going to be new to him. And if he gets to see that at the Senior Bowl, you know, hopefully in 1v1s between receivers and DBs.
I'm sure, yeah, they'll let them do that at least. Yeah.
How does he handle that? How does he get off the line of scrimmage with his releases, with his footwork, with his hand usage? How does he deal with a physical, you know, at the line of scrimmage, a physical presence there? That's something we haven't seen a whole lot from him. He did face Jadoobi Awuzie from Colorado, but Awuzie had turf toe and was like questionable up until the game and played, but Washington killed him, but he clearly wasn't the same in that game. So it's nice to see that, but again, I think we want to see it against a competition that's a little healthier. This will give him at least the opportunity to be able to show some of those things. Those are the big questions with him. And if he doesn't do those things really well, and he isn't great after the catch, like he can do some things after. He was not elusive in space after the catch. He's not really creative in space. He has, like you said, a compact frame. Can be a little bit hard for teams to bring down or for defenders to bring down, but right. I do think that that's not where he's going to hang his hat. When you look at what James Washington's going to hang his hat on in the NFL, I think he has to be a better route runner, more technical player, because is he the fastest dude on the field? I don't know. I mean, it's good, but is it great? You know, and his finishing, his hands and his ability to win in contested catch situations is awesome, but he's, like you said, 6 foot at best. The NFL draft scout has him at 5'11 and a half, 205 pounds. So he's he's not a big receiver, and I don't think he has like great hops or anything. So is he going to win as a contested catch guy? So it's, you know, it just becomes this big question mark of what are Washington's traits that he can hang his hat on? Because if he's not a true number one, he has to be able to get off press coverage against top press man corners in the NFL if you're number one. And a lot of teams have him these days. So,
and I think that, you know, like you brought up that point right there about him going, him having to put his, to hang his hat on being a route runner, and we haven't really seen a lot of that. If we can see some good route running, some improved route running at least from James Washington than maybe what we saw on tape, because I mean, you know my thoughts on Big 12 football. I think that you
everyone
know,
knows your thoughts on Big 12 football.
But I just watch these teams go into this game plan of like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And I feel like James Washington's basically like, all right, you're either running a comeback or a nine. There you go.
Right.
Like, or a post.
Yeah, a lot of it is, yeah. It's all vertical-based routes. It's routes. A lot of the routes are based in a single plane of space. Like, he's either going – he's going vertical, he's coming back, he's curling, he's hooking. One of those things is happening most of the time. And occasionally you will see your post against, again, soft coverage. But, again, there's no press at the line of scrimmage. You don't have to sell an outside release and break inside. You just have to time it to beat the zone. You know what I mean? Where the safety is.
Right.
You just have to, so it does become a little bit simpler for you as a route runner when you don't have to think about those details.
And I'll say that if he can become a better route runner, man, I think that this guy is. I think he can be great with the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. I think he can be great running after the catch. I think he's very natural with it. That's something they've asked him to do for years, especially throwing it deep. He's not the easiest guy to bring down because of his frame. It's almost, you know, people have said that this year when he gets the ball in his hands, it's almost like he's a running back. So if we can see better route running from him, then you can envision him at his size at different positions. And I think that's able to help his draft stock, because you're right. I mean, how many wide receiver ones in the NFL are 5'11"?
Yeah, not very many. And I think when you look at the receivers in this class, just in general, some of the guys that he's going to have to compete with in terms of size and contested catchability, you mentioned that with Washington, if that's a strong suit, there's a lot of guys that kind of fit that bill in this group, which is another kind of concern. So if that's his thing, does he do it better than his teammate, Marcel Aitman, who has mixed reviews, I think, on tape, not an explosive guy. We've talked about him a little bit. Reminds us maybe of, Malcolm Floyd, not Michael, not the one that was with the Cardinals and then the Patriots, but Malcolm Floyd, the one who was with the Chargers for years, you know, ability to win in that vertical plane, kind of a little bit, not a speedster, not a great athlete, but great ball skills in the air. And I think you get that from Aitman, but there's other guys like that. Alan Lazard is very similar to that, in my opinion. You know, I think he's a guy that wins in the air mainly, and doesn't, not very explosive, not a great route runner, not going to separate really well, but has that one thing that he does really well. Who else was a guy that I saw that's going to be there? Darren Carrington has a little bit of that to him. He was used a little
more
after the
catch. I like Darren Carrington, man.
Yeah, you kind of do like Carrington, you said, right?
I liked Carrington a lot when he was at Oregon. Obviously, he had the things that made him transfer to Utah. So anytime that happens, it's not like you can't expect the guy to just come on to a new school in his last year and somehow be taking steps forward. So that was a bummer to me when he left Oregon.
But he kind of did almost. That was what was so impressive. I thought Carrington would get totally lost in the shuffle.
I didn't think he would get lost in the shuffle. So, like, I was glad that I was seeing some of the – because I have seen a little bit of his tape from Utah, but
70 catches for 980 yards and 6 touchdowns in this past season at Utah. He had good seasons at Oregon before them, but that was his best one statistically. Not as good down the field, more of a short passing game, kind of threatened, but – still did some nice things. I was impressed that he was able to get to a new school and acclimate himself that quickly to the offense to be, you know, really their go-to guy.
That's fair. I think he was clearly the best wide receiver at Utah.
Yes,
though,
that's a good point, right.
Which is, I mean, like, kind of my thing is that I wanted him to shoot, Oregon's quarterback, who it's Herbert.
Herbert,
him. Yeah, I wanted him to get like a full year this year with Herbert in there, but hey, you know, things turned out differently, and so now it's kind of a mystery when you're scouting Carrington, knowing that you have to weigh all that in. But I really liked him when he was at Oregon, and they almost, in his last year at Oregon, they almost made him like truly the feature guy. Mm-hmm. Like they were going to him on first downs, second downs, third downs, whatever it was, red zone, in between the 20s, in the numbers, outside the hashes. I think that they were trying to use Darren Carrington in any way that they could. So I really enjoyed him at Oregon. I'm definitely going to enjoy him being at the Senior Bowl to see what kind of player we have. So it's good that he took that next step at Utah. I wish he could have taken it at Oregon, because I wish we could have seen him with Herbert as well, but kind of is what it is.
Jahleel Scott's another one of your guys, isn't he? And he's a guy that is 6'6", 215. He's got the big-bodied receiver type, and we've seen him make some unreal circus catches in the air this season for New Mexico State. You've been impressed with him at certain points this year.
Yeah, definitely. The highlights and the consistency don't really match up at the moment. But like, let's face it, man. When you have a guy of his frame and his size putting together some of the catches that he is able to do, you have to take notice, because I can tell you from personal experience covering a team that is very bad at scoring 7 points in the red zone instead of 3. Even if you were just drafting, you know, Jahleel Scott as a player who you hone into a red zone monster, which a lot of the highlights that Scott has are him doing incredible things within the 20. That's a worthwhile pick. Right. And that's a guy, not only a worthwhile pick, that's a guy worth coveting.
Mm-hmm. If you can develop him just a little bit in any way, you know, you've got his wingspan and
obviously
strength.
Depending on how crisp he can be as a route runner, how consistent he can be with separation, not just from the 20-yard line into the red zone, because that's the thing, too, is that the red zone is such an art because there's a limited amount of space, right? And so that is why players who are bigger, longer, have more length, they normally have value, because instead of being able to separate with more of the field to your advantage, you can do it with height. You can do it in the air. You can do it with things like that. And so anywhere that you can separate from a defender is good. And that's why normally when you hear about like 6'5 receivers and people say, or like 6'5 tight ends, whatever you want to say, and they're like, oh, they could be a good red zone threat. Well, that's why, because separation via the field is limited, so you have to get separation other ways. Scott is a guy who knows how to separate using his length, and so I think that's a trait that is almost, that's kind of a natural thing. Even guys who are tall can't necessarily do that, and I think Scott has shown that he can do it pretty well. So if you at the very least kind of hone in on that skill, even if he doesn't become a full field consistent wide receiver, I think he's got value in the NFL, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him be able to play with this crop of quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, you mentioned it, but ball skills are – we throw the term around, but it's such a fluid term. I mean, there's so many different – you have body control, it's timing, leaping ability, arm extension, hand strength, you know, ability to kind of wrestle the ball out of those tight spots a lot of the time, and you're going to have a DB in your hip pocket a lot of the time, you know. So there's a lot that goes into it, and – Scott has a lot of those factors, so I think that he's going to be one of the more exciting players to watch, especially in those 1v1s. They run those fade routes. That's where I want to see Scott really shine at the Senior Bowl. There's two guys
I'm going to have my phone on at all times, because he's going to get a one-handed grab in the corner of the end zone at some point that week, and you bet I'm a social media.
I was going to say, that's your brand right there.
It is.
You need to take advantage of those opportunities. Traquan Smith and Cedric Wilson are two guys I haven't seen, so I apologize. I'm getting to receivers over the next 2 days, but we just haven't seen a whole lot of them yet. Maybe I'll throw in some tidbits about them next week when we cover tight ends. Two guys that, to me, this group has a lot of things. I don't think there's a lot of great route runners in this group. Two guys that are an exception to that role, Anthony Miller from Memphis, who may be my top wide receiver here when it's all said and done. I should have a clearer answer over the next couple days. I'm spending this weekend really studying all these guys. I've seen some of them more than others. Anthony Miller and Braxton Berrios from Miami, who is going to work probably mostly in the slot and did mostly in the slot at Miami, but I think he's got a really good skill set for what he's going to be asked to do.
Yeah, no, Berrios is good. Berrios has taken longer than I thought to come on. I was kind of following Berrios as he was in his high school recruiting, going to Miami, deciding which school he was going to go to. And I looked at this guy and I thought, man, this is the next slot monster. This is a very confident kid, very compact and athletic, good short area athleticism and quickness. I thought he was going to come on a lot sooner with Miami, and it really didn't take hold until this year, which is kind of a bummer. But I thought that he did show a lot of really great things this year, and Miami used him in a variety of different ways. He wasn't just doing the 1 to 15 yard routes. They sometimes had Berrios, you know, working down the seam, as, you know, kind of like where tight ends would work as well. Not as a tight end, but I'm saying, you know, like some plays they'd flip it and have a slot receiver doing a tight end route and vice versa and all that kinds of stuff. So I think that Berrios is pretty experienced in a lot of different routes, which is good, and that's what you want from a guy that, you know, who separates well, right? You want a diverse route tree, because if they're so good at separating, if they've got those quick feet, if they have the short area athleticism, you want them to be able to run almost anywhere on the field, like the Steelers do, kind of like with Antonio Brown. They can play him on the outside, in the slot, wherever you want it. Not saying Berrios is Antonio Brown, but I'm saying that that's
no, the you, style that's a comp, right? Yeah. That's the comp to me.
Yeah, for sure. The next Antonio Brown, you heard here first. But that's the kind of thing that I saw from Berrios this year, which was a good thing, an encouraging thing, even though I haven't seen a lot of volume of him over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I you're right. I didn't realize that he didn't do anything until this year, really. And
right.
He 21 catches for 232 yards as a freshman, 12 catches for 86 yards the next year, 12 for 178 the next year, and you know, this year, 54 for 670, still not a great year. 9 touchdowns, though. I mean, it was a little surprising. I honestly did not think he would be invited to the Senior Bowl. So good to see him there. I do think he can show something, though, as a route runner. This is kind of a stage that's built for that. It's built for those kind of situations for wide receivers. You know, guys that shine with yards after the catch or even just pure deep speed. Yeah, there's going to be examples and times for that. But I think really if you can show the ability to get in and out of breaks quickly, catch the ball cleanly, those are the kind of things that are really going to show up strong at the Senior Bowl. Jamon Moore, I watched one game from Missouri. I watched him against Auburn, I believe. Yeah, it was Auburn. And he was terrible.
Did he go up against Davis?
Yeah, there was some of that. That was part of it. He and Carlton Davis battled. They moved him around, though. Davis played mostly on the left side, I think, in that game. He failed to adjust to the ball a couple times. Locke wasn't perfect either, but he had a drop or two in this game. It was a bad performance, no question. So that's the only game I've seen, though. So maybe that was like his worst game ever. And so I'm approaching him with some trepidation, but I want to see him kind of prove that he was better than that once we get to Mobile. Another guy that I wasn't really wowed by, and I know some people like Michael Gallup. I watched him against Alabama, so obviously some tough competition. But I really thought he struggled to create separation. Didn't really seem that explosive or that physical. Lost a couple battles in the air. I know people kind of herald his ability to win in traffic a little bit. He's 6'1", 200 pounds, though, and he's a pretty long, lanky frame. And when Bama got up and pressed him, I wonder how much of that he sees at Colorado State playing against those other corners that he'll face in his conference. When Bama got up and pressed him, I thought that he had some issues getting off press as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen a ton of him outside of the highlights than a couple of the articles that I've read of people who have kind of gone over him already, but they seem to quite a few people seem to be pretty high on him. They were really excited that he was getting the invite, and so I don't know. I saw a lot of work of him doing well with body control with when the ball was in the air, which we know is a trait that's definitely coveted. So I guess he is another receiver that certainly, you know, when you play that kind of Midwest or out West style of football where a lot of it is giving guys space, almost kind of like defenses are playing bend but don't break up until they get into the red zone. You can rack up the stats, you can rack up some highlights, but at the Senior Bowl, you're going to get pressed. They're going to eventually play that. So we'll see which guys get eaten alive. Hopefully Gallup isn't, because he does a lot of great stuff once he actually is able to get in his rhythm down further into routes. So, you know, I would hope that he's better on press, because you want to see those skills shine, but he can't get there until he's able to find that space.
Isn't it funny how some schools draft like the same looking receivers a lot of time? Like, I feel like USC always has a lot of guys that look generally similar body type. You know, Marcus Lee, Aguilar, Deontay Burnett's a little bit smaller than those guys, but Georgia kind of does it. Malcolm Mitchell kind of looks like Wims, who kind of looks like Godwin, and Javon Wims is one of the newer additions to the Senior Bowl, the Georgia kid. But I feel like, you know, he's about 6'3". He's listed as a big body, but he's really pretty lanky, I think, when you look at him. I didn't really think that, again, he would end up on this stage, but, I mean, he did have a pretty good year. 45 catches, 720 yards, averaged 16 yards a catch, caught 7 touchdowns. But like Berrios, very much a one-year wonder type of kid at Georgia. Didn't really do anything last year for them. So, you know, he's a little bit tough to figure out because I don't know that he's a super explosive, but he made some really nice body control type catches in the playoffs and even in the regular season as well. So I'm kind of excited to see what he can do for Georgia because I don't think he's like a dynamic playmaker, but I want to see, can he win against press? Can he win in the air? Because he looked pretty good against Oklahoma, but then when he faced Alabama's corners, just one catch for 16 yards. I think it was a back shoulder throw that he made a nice adjustment to despite tight coverage, but he seemed to struggle a little bit more in that game, in that atmosphere. So big, long, lanky guys, you got to be able to play big. And I don't know whether we're going to see that from Wims or not. So it'll be fun to evaluate him there, too. So there's your whole group of seniors. Oh, we didn't mention DJ Chark from LSU because, I don't know, I haven't seen it with him. I think you're in the similar boat, right? I mean,
it's hard to judge LSU guys because Danny Etling's been such trash.
That's true.
So it's like everything around LSU's offense has been really, really weird. And, like, I've seen Chark make some nice, deep
plays. Yeah, he's definitely a vertical threat.
Right, he's definitely a vertical receiver, but like when you're quarterback in your offense, it wasn't built for him, and so his opportunities to actually show his skills were so limited. So
yeah, again, that's actually a good point. This really wasn't an offense that was really well built for him, as much as I love Matt Canada. And he still managed 40 catches for 874 yards and averaged 22 yards a catch. So
right, exactly. He's the kind of guy who you send him vertical, you chuck it deep, you hope he gets it. But right. I think he's going to get some better opportunities in the Senior Bowl. I'll just say that.
For sure. There's your Senior Bowl wide receiver group. Hopefully you mentioned everyone. All right, we got to pick our NFL playoff games for MyBookie. I don't know what we finished last week. We'll have to ask that guy to keep track of everything for us. But I feel like I probably beat you. Pretty sure.
No.
Yeah, pretty sure.
No.
I'm trying to remember what we picked.
You picked the Panthers, didn't you?
No. Well, maybe with the line. What was the line?
Oh, shoot, the line. You're right. Lines were big.
I think you're right. I think I did pick them, but the line was, what did the Panthers lose by? 5. I think the line might have been 5.
The line might have been 5.5.
Ugh. I don't remember which I picked now. Oh, well. Anyway, what we got this week? I know there should be some doozies in there. Patriots, I think I heard, were favored by 2 touchdowns over Tennessee. Oh, I'm serious. I think
the first game is on Saturday, 4:35 Eastern Standard Time. It is the Atlanta Falcons playing against the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Falcons on the road favored by 3. So Philly's getting 3 points.
Give me the Falcons.
Oh man.
You're gonna bank your rep on Nick Foles, aren't you? Go for it. Don't be a coward.
No, I'm going to take the Falcons. Dang it! I'm going to take the Falcons. All right. The Titans versus the Patriots. That's a Saturday night game. The Patriots are favored by 13.5.
Yeah, Patriots, man. I don't even think the Titans match up well with the Patriots. I think that this could be a bad one.
No, I'm taking the Titans. There's no way you can give me 13.5 in a playoff game, and I'm not taking it.
You're lost. Tight.
The Jacksonville Jaguars at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers favored by a whole touchdown.
No, give me the Jaguars. Steelers, I think, are going to win, but I think it'll be very close.
Yeah, I think the defense will make sure it's a lot closer than that, so I'm going to take the Jaguars as well. And then finally, the New Orleans Saints at the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings at home, favored by 5.
You know, I'm going to let you go first on this one.
I'm taking the Saints, 100%. If you're giving me 5 points with that Saints team, yeah, I'm taking the Saints.
I'll go with the Saints, but I think the Vikings are going to win.
Well, that's fine. But five do you think points. They're going to win by more than five?
It's possible, but I'll go.
Don't give me that. It's possible, crap.
It is.
Be confident about it.
Look, they're going to shut down the Saints'
You're
run game.
You're telling people how to bet their hard-earned money, John. You can't be going wishy-washy with this, all right?
Yeah, give me the Saints. Give me the Saints. Saints
Dang will, right,
Saints
give me the Saints.
Close enough.
All right, so we have the same bets other than the Titans-Patriots. I Dang think it. The Titans are going to keep it within 13.5, my lord. All right, there you go. There's the Lions.
No, Patriots are going to blow them out, and then I'm gonna tell you suck it on Monday's podcast, which, by the way, we'll have a little Shrine Game preview in there for you, along with looking at the tight ends for the Senior Bowl as well. So we'll have a little double dipping there. Trevor will be heading out to the Shrine Game practice. He'll be there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
No, it actually starts Monday, too.
Oh, it does.
It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Wow, so 4 days of practices.
4 days.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. Wow. Well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about all of it. We're going to have rapid reaction for you guys based on Shrine Game practices. And the pods may drop a little bit later in the day as a result, but you're going to get information here that you won't get anywhere else. So make sure that you check those out next week. And, of course, we'll keep continuing to preview the Senior Bowl for you guys and look at the position groups, even if it is a little briefer next week. We try to get to a lot of the big ones this week and a lot of the ones that we'll be watching closely at the Senior Bowl, but we'll finish out the rosters as well. And there's still a couple spots left. They just sent a couple new guys just got added, including Wims and Traquan Smith, who we just talked about. So they're still adding a couple guys. We're still a little thin in the running back department. Not sure what they're going to do, if they're going to add, you know, two more guys. Maybe I know Nick Chubb, Sony Michel. We're kind of waiting to hear what they've decided to do. It's as we get closer, it seems like they probably won't be there. So we'll see how it all ends up shaking out. We'll have all the latest for you all throughout next week. And then we're there, man. We're at the Senior Bowl. The draft season gets officially underway with the first, I guess the Shrine Game is really the first event, so it really starts Monday. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. It's going to be fun, going to be a lot to talk about and a lot to analyze. And as always, we'll do that right here. So keep it locked on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.